good news, everyone!
Time for fun!
It's time for another episode of Blessing of Frost, a World of Warcraft podcast hosted by Magic and Kern.
Hey there, my name is Kern, and I would like to welcome you, our lovely listeners, to yet another episode of Blessing of Frost. How are you doing tonight, Madge?
I'm doing well. I'm here, by the way. Thank you for making my presence known. That's very kind of you.
Well, I think that people, you know, after 18 episodes, this is our 19th episode, I would think that people now know that if I'm here, you're here.
Yeah, is that, I guess that's known? Fine. Well, then let it be known that I'm here.
I'm glad to have you here, buddy. I'm glad to have you here. With us as well is Lude, who is a tank for us in Apotheosis. He is a protection warrior. How are you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm doing good. Glad to be here tonight. Just had to get out, have some fun.
Excellent. Good to have you around.
That's what we plan to have here. Nothing but fun. Funny, fun, fun.
Lots of fun. Tell me, Madge, did you bring enough chocolate for the rest of us?
Not yet. I'm actually, right after this podcast, I'm going to make some chocolate frosted cupcakes. Very excited.
Damn it, man.
Does fun get to involve killing Madge tonight?
That would be excellent. Let us make that a plan of ours for later in the show.
Killing me again? Wonderful.
That would be fantastic.
All right. Well, postponing my death, we'll move over into Lore Master. Do you have anything exciting other than my death happen this week, Kern?
I gotta say that your dying consistently in raids is always a highlight of my raiding week.
Oh, good.
But
as long as I'm making someone better.
I actually had some interesting stuff happen over the last couple weeks. When last we checked in on the baby Pally, the baby Pally was 26. The baby Pally is now 65.
Wow. Way to go, killer.
I gotta say, being a Rhett Pally is, because I quest as Rhett and then I heal in dungeons as Holy. I would never, you know, basically inflict my Rhett nubness on a group ever.
On the general public.
Yeah, seriously. It's just from that. My failure at Rhett is for my benefit only.
Good. Well, then we'll keep it out of the limelight then.
Right. So yeah, even still, even being a complete Rhett nub, I was able to solo Banthor, Bachlore, Gutripper, and Tusker.
Out in
the Grand. Yeah.
That was hilarious. Bachlore actually gave me a bit of trouble because he's got a knockback. But nicely timed Hammer of Justice really helps out there, as does, of course, flagrant use of Lay on Hands, Divine Shield, and running around like a little bitch.
Wow, way to go. Well, here's my question. Do those quests still say group quest on them?
Yeah.
Really?
Well,
I can't believe they didn't retune it for a single person. They haven't done everything else.
They haven't changed anything in Outlands. It's all exactly the same. You can't even go pick up quests in the dungeons. It drives me nuts.
So you have to go everywhere and get them.
I went to Auchendoon. I got the various quests. What a pain in the butt that was.
Sounds like it.
But, I mean, I'm not sure it actually says group quest in the log, but it does say suggested players 2, or in Tusker's case, 3. But I was like, nah, screw that. So... I'd like to say, Dar, I'm better than you, so there, because she had me help her with Banthar and Bachlore and Gutripper and Tusker when she was leveling her druid.
Well, Rhett Paladins are, like, Paladins in general, a whole different beast when it comes to, like, soloing group quests, I found.
Yeah,
insane. That's what I'm getting at here.
I gotta say, though, that the cooldown on Word of Glory as a Rhett, or I guess as a prot, sucks.
It's awful.
Terrible.
I guess you don't think about it.
Never. I'm like, oh, look, I have 3 holy power. I will now heal myself. And it's like, you can't use this ability yet. Crap, stupid Rhett.
Yeah, the problem is that it was such a staple in Pugs, at least for me, because you could not have to count on a healer where they may not be, you know, up to par. But now... you have to rely on them a lot more, which is upsetting.
And in PvP situations, Paladins were already practically unkillable.
I guess that'll make it a little bit fairer in PvP, but I don't know.
I'm so tired of PvP causing PvE nerfs.
Oh, it's not that bad. It didn't nerf your regular paladin, so deal with it.
No, that's true. I'm really glad that Word of Glory is still a viable option for Holy Pallies. That is nice. Let's see. I finally discovered what I had been wanting to discover on my mage.
And that would be
why the things in Strat Live are never dead.
Really?
Yeah, and I feel really dumb because all I really had to do was read the quests that were given to me in the beginning of Strat Live.
Nice.
Which I did not do until I actually got to do it on my pally. So it was basically Balnazar, like once the cataclysm occurred or what have you, like basically Balnazar dropped his disguise because he used to be like some high crusader or whatever. And he basically got his new army to come in and he killed everybody or something along those lines.
Something like that.
I wish I had screenshotted it, but I didn't.
And you're going through Wowhead and all you're searching, you never figured that out until going to another alt.
She didn't go through Wowhead. That's what happened. She was trying to find it in the game.
I was trying to find it in the game. I did spend a bit of time looking for it on Wowhead. Couldn't find it. And then said, screw it, because I just didn't care anymore. Because, I was 52. I wasn't in that instance anymore. I was mostly in BRD on the mage. Which I gotta say, I still love that instance. Oh my god, I love it so much on my pally. It's so awesome.
Yeah. Well, depends on how many times you've done it, I believe.
I think I've now probably done it about close to, I want to say, conservatively 150 times total. Like the full, attunement run and everything.
Well, you're saying the whole instance?
I probably have not killed the Emperor that many times, because we didn't used to do Emperors back in the day. Back in the day, we used to do Molten Core attunement runs or Jailbreak. And as I recall, we ran Jailbreak twice for you, buddy.
Listen, I don't know if that's true, so I refuse to accept it.
Smart, smart. So apart from Baby Pally Adventures, which are kind of fun, I also worked at the Canadian federal elections last week. It was a really brutally long day. I mean, I got there at before 8:30 in the morning. And I was there until 11:45 at night. I didn't get home until past midnight. I had 159 different people come to my polling station throughout the day, and I told them all how to vote, handed them all their ballots. They went behind the screen, they all voted, they came back with their ballots, and then they put them in the box. And I got to count all those ballots, and I got to basically give specific instructions to some new voters, like kids who are, 18, 19, 20. We had a lot of them at my polling station. So it was really awesome to be able to say, oh, this is your first time. That's awesome. It's really good to see you out here, making a difference and all that stuff. And so I felt really awesome about that. I felt less awesome about the fact that I now have a conservative majority government. Not a real fan of that, but I am kind of impressed that the NDP did so well, and probably the longest lasting result of that day of work is that I got sick, and I'm still recovering from it, which I'm sure that you guys can tell by my voice. But I was sick for my birthday. My birthday was on Saturday, and I was sick with a fever. And this is probably why my pally is 65, because I couldn't go out with my friends on Friday or Saturday for my birthday as planned.
It's kind of sad.
It is. So instead of having a good birthday with my friends and such, I have a 65 pally.
That's probably not worth it.
No, given the choice.
Just saying. Just a thought on that one.
Yeah, I would have preferred to be out with my friends. But I got lots of How old are you now? And boy, I'm glad I'm not as old as you are. I got a whole bunch of jokes and e-cards and phone calls and the like, so that was good.
Fun times.
Yeah, so that was my week or two. How about yourself, Lude?
For me, as could be seen in Guild, I've gone back to my roots of okay, don't want my main, time to level $10,000.
Excellent.
And my latest obsession has become a discipline priest, which I'm not entirely sure why, since healing has never been my thing. In addition to that, I've been working most days, which has caused me, unfortunately, to be late for our raids more than once, usually multiple hours late. But I still squeeze in before we're finished.
That is true.
You get in whatever you can get in, you know.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like I got to skip out of Bastion of Twilight this week.
Not on purpose, of course.
No, not on purpose. I mean, except unlike Kern, when it comes to going out, I guess I kind of had Kern's going out with friends this past weekend, as I was informed later that I had come home and come online talking to people.
Oh yeah, that was really humorous. He logged in, and we're all like, "Hey, Lude, how are you?" And he types in something that it took a bit to figure out what he said. But I think that the gist was, "Hi everyone, I've had a bit to drink," or something like that. And it was like completely poorly typed. And I'm not just like the occasional typo. I'm talking like multiple letters within the same word were completely wrong. And
Awesome.
I was finally able to decipher it. I'm like, oh, okay, careful, he's been drinking.
Often. And in
Yeah.
mass quantities.
I'm gonna deny the quantities there.
All right. You can deny it all you want, but they were there. I was not, so I don't remember, but.
Yeah, I heard very much about it the next day from Guildies, and I also had the headache to go with it to remember, make sure I remember.
Gotcha. I think I actually screenshotted it, so I'll include that on the page. That's blessingofrost.com.
Sweet.
Oh,
A fantastic addition.
I feel so honored to find out that my being drunk deserved screenshotted.
Oh
I
yes.
think it did anyway.
It does. And now it's going to be public, and that's fantastic.
I like sharing guild chat and stuff with random people. I like to tweet on occasion crazy things that the guild says. I screenshot a lot of things. I screenshot anything that could be potentially inflammatory, so that I have a record of it. But then I also have funny things like the healers the other night. Sarah, one of our priests, whenever she takes a concentration potion, which like knocks you out for 10 seconds, it says in healer chat, "Sleep times heal my target," all in
Wow.
caps, and I find this very amusing. So I screenshotted it.
Or multitudes of what is it? Cam's Healthstone creations.
Oh my god, yes.
They are pretty funny.
Cam actually PM'd me the other day, and she was like, "If you would like my macro to say anything in particular, feel free to give me suggestions." I'm like, I am totally staying out of this. Tia already pwned me on my own podcast. I'm just gonna take a few steps back here, but good luck.
Well, you'll come up with something. You have to come up with something equally awesome. That's how you have to get back at her.
No. I am
No.
not going to, poke a stick at Tia because she's just gonna kill me. So if you want to chime in, by all means, but I'm just gonna stay out of it.
I'm probably all
Okay,
right.
so I should add to my list, in addition to getting magic killed, which I was finally successful at
Yay!
in the last 2 weeks. I believe it was a week and a half ago. Took
Yeah.
long enough. I will have to add new ways to torture Tia to that list.
Oh,
but
God. I cannot
this is your fault.
Comment either way. I'm just going to go sit over there.
This is your fault when this happens. You will have to deal with the retribution.
Totally not my fault.
Oh, yes.
Nope. Nope.
And just to make sure it's understood, this is Alcorn's fault.
God damn it.
Oh, yes. Oh, God.
Oh, I'm so screwed.
Awesome.
And remember, for any listener, if she posts this screenshot, I'm the person that she actually trusts to tank.
One of them, yes.
Scary stuff.
Yeah, but those events basically summed up my last 2 weeks.
Sweet.
Fair enough, yeah. Not bad. Pretty good. It's not my fault. Moving on!
Yes, it is.
Oh, man. We know that's coming back. Excited. Anyway.
So what did you do?
What did I do? Raided a few times on the mage. Good times. Boss deaths, all those good things. I moved my Death Knight back from Proudlore to ET, my level 80 Death Knight, who was essentially like my main for the greater portion of Wrath.
So, would you do such a thing? This is something I didn't get a chance to ask you earlier.
So, I've been leveling my Paladin as well, as I've said a few times on here. And part of the reason I've been doing that is because I enjoy tanking so much. I mean, I really do love it. It's what I did on the DK, although I tanked, Frost tanked, and Unholy PvP'd at the end of Wrath. And so I was like, well, we'll start a Paladin and level that up and do that whole ordeal. But then, right around 58, I guess, I was thinking, I have a freaking level 80 tank. What the hell am I doing? This seems insane. Plus, I enjoy, like, tanking on the Death Knight for the most part. So, it may stunt my Paladin's leveling, but at the same time, I figured, hey, free levels, all they cost are my own money. And I didn't have any, I wasn't getting any use out of him over on Proudmoore. There's almost nobody over there, so what would be the point of keeping him there?
Yeah, I've just got my druid over there, and my real-life friend, the rest of druid, has her ults there. But I don't think that you ever even ran with my real-life friend, the rest of druid.
Nope, not even, maybe one group on one of her alts.
Oh, that's right, yeah, like the new dungeons there, the Ice Crown ones.
Yeah, so I haven't been over on that server in a long time, so I figured it was time to bring him back and start playing him a bit, especially because it's pretty much a whole different ballgame now. I've done a couple randoms, but I've had to spec to blood, whereas previously, I know most of the tanks were blood and wrath, but I enjoyed frost tanking. And so it's been like it's a whole new ball game.
I liked frost tanks too, to be honest, just because I felt like they took less spiky damage, especially in like lower content, not raid content, and that blood was just a little spikier. I remember in Uldor, actually, running down Thorim's Tunnel, my preference, if I had to have a Death Knight with me, because I was healing, why they put a Holy Paladin in the tunnel, I don't know, but that was my assignment. And I preferred to have a frost DK there than a blood tank.
Yeah, through Old War, because I actually played a Death Knight back in those days, which still exists back on Windrunner. But frost seemed to be the stronger, especially for AoE type areas, which Thorim's Tunnel is the best. That's the best description for it.
Yeah, that's certainly true. I actually healed Merc through that tunnel more than once.
Nice. So, yeah, so that's pretty much why I brought the Death Knight back over. Because I figured I could be tanking lower level instances, but I may as well be tanking ones that I'd want to tank. Or at least be getting to the 85 a little bit faster. And get some use out of a character that I've already invested a bunch of time in. So why not?
Fair enough.
It's been a lot of, it's like relearning, there isn't really a rotation per se, but it's a lot of cooldown management as far as, you know, there's like 6 or 7 different cooldowns that you can pop at any given time.
So relearning how to roll your face on a keyboard.
Yeah, something like that. And, I don't know, I'm happy to be tanking again. I've tanked 3 or 4 randoms at this point, and I'm like about an eighth of the way from leveling, so that's good. And then I've played my priest more, did a few more raided battlegrounds. I think we actually capped the guild experience or whatnot, or the, I'm sorry, the guild, what are they? They're not quests.
Challenges.
Challenges, there you go. We did the three raided battlegrounds challenges for the guild, and good job, raided battlegrounds people. It was a good time, and I assume we're looking forward to doing a few more this week as well.
Now, I have a question about the raid battlegrounds.
Yes.
One of our guildies, Void, whose Twitter is BindWW, he was streaming at least some of that. And I warn you, the stream is not safe for work.
No, it's not. I was there, and I was acting the fool, as they say.
Oh, yeah. I heard.
Oh, did you? I was just saying, you've seen it? Because it's ridiculous.
No, I actually tuned in live while it was happening. But it said at one point that the Horde was winning, and somebody said, oh, they have to 3-cap us to win anyway. So it looked like you guys, even though we're Alliance, were designated as the Horde?
Yep. That absolutely is true. You, like, in the new Battlegrounds, you can fight other Alliance teams. So, like, someone has to be on the Horde side.
Huh.
Yeah, it's pretty much awesome because you get to see a lot of the stuff from the other side and where they may have had, where the Horde may have had advantages previously. It's kind of flipped around. So starting at the boat, for example, in a bunch of stuff, or starting at the boat in, what is it?
Strand?
No, not Strand. Starting at the boat in
Battle for Gilneas.
Yeah, Gilneas. Is really cool, and you get a faster jump, I feel like, on the blacksmith when you do AB from Horde side as well. It's a really,
really
interesting experience, yeah. And it's cool. It's interesting to fight other Alliance.
That's kind of creepy. It's sort of like in the arenas, but like it's so weird because all of the mods, I guess, still say Horde and Alliance and stuff based on who's starting at where, and like I guess that the UI still calls you Horde and...
Yeah, so that's a little strange, especially when you're trying to cap flags or making sure you have flags already. It's showing the Horde banner. So, you know, you can catch yourself saying, oh, no, we don't have that. And then, I mean, when you're doing an RBG, you kind of have a little bit of a better grasp on where people are just because you're talking about it. But for the first second, you're like, oh, I don't have that. And you're like, wait, no, I'm actually a Horde. Like, we do have that.
That would make me feel dirty.
But they would have to do it some way like that, because what's it going to say? Alliance is beating Alliance.
True.
I guess at that point, they would just, like, I guess that I would maybe prefer if they said, you know, Apotheosis of Eldrathalos, Alliance has this versus whatever. I don't know. But I'm long-winded.
Yeah, it's an interesting change, and I'm actually a fan. It's a cool look into the other side, I guess. And yeah, that's about all that had to do with my week, I guess. With that, all we'll move on into hotfix. We have actually, I think we had a few hotfixes, like real honest to god hotfixes, didn't we?
Holy crap, did we have hotfixes. I will put in the link for Blizzard's official hotfix page in the show notes, but just some choice bits here, brought to you by choiceguild.com.
I like that. That could be a
traitor.
Choice bits by choiceguild, brought to you by choiceguild.com. Continue.
Actually, when I dinged at one point, I think it was Sirius said, "This ding brought to you by the fine folks at choiceguild.com." Okay,
awesome.
Hotfix. So there's all kinds of stuff that now actually works on Cho'Gall's trap door. You know, Death and Decay, Consecration, Efflorescence, anything along those lines. I think that that's probably a positive. If you lay down an area of effect spell or ability, I think that it should work regardless of the terrain. So,
yeah.
Props to them for fixing that.
Well, props to them for fixing it, not props to them for having that happen in the first place.
Yeah, no, I think it's been a continuing issue pretty much the whole expansion. Like, every patch note I look at, it's like, the trapdoor stuff now works, really, or whatever.
Really,
so
this time. Don't worry about it. It's probably why they took, which arena was that, out of the rotation, was the issues.
The Ring of what?
That's what I was thinking it was the Orgrimmar arena, but...
Yeah, I like that arena, actually.
Well, it's gone.
Aren't they bringing it back?
I don't know. Maybe yes. They fix it.
They'll be bringing it back, and I think they said in one of the thousands of patch notes that they're just going to be moving the entrance instead of being the elevator, putting entrances at the ends for where you zone in.
I mean, that was always cool with the floating platforms or whatnot. It was just, like, the biggest freaking pain in the ass with the,
the pets.
With the pets and so forth, so. Anyway, yeah, I digress.
Let's see what else. Interrupts apparently now really don't miss. There were several things, like wind shear, that were still missing, regardless of hit rating, so, but that has been fixed. Similarly, pushback issues. A lot of talents and stuff that were supposed to give you pushback protection, they have actually fixed that because that was buggy with 4.1. I know that Kaleri in our raid last night, she was like, yes, pushback protection. So they clearly did something with priests and I guess Divine Hymn or Hymn of Hope.
Yeah, something like that. Either way, good stuff. There's always, a bunch of different classes have that kind of ability, so.
Yeah, I have concentration aura, so I don't really care.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, who cares about all the other classes when your own is safe?
Exactly. Although I found it really interesting that the internal cooldown of the mana effect from Water Shield has been doubled.
Huh.
They
cite a reason for that, or
no, they just was probably an undocumented nerf that they have now documented.
Okay.
But I don't know why they would have done that to the poor Shammies.
Prediction. PvP.
No, probably. Yeah, okay, good call.
When in doubt. Well, that's, again, for a while I PvP'd on a Shaman with Pal as his Warlock, and it was always insane being able to, like, kite someone and then gain mana back at such a ridiculous rate using Water Shield, so it's a possibility that it was something like that.
Possibility. They also nerfed the non-elite creatures in ZA and ZG. They no longer drop epic loot. I guess that people were going in there and farming non-elites, trying to get the epic BOE drops to sell or use or what have you. And they have now fixed that, so only elite creatures will drop elite or epic loot.
Well, that's a good thing.
I guess.
I think.
Seems reminiscent of the Ice Crown heroics and the battle farming.
Yep. Yeah, that's for sure. I do recall that. I still find it sad that the content's been out for, what, like almost 2 weeks now, and I still haven't gone to CA or ZG.
Yeah. I actually have not either.
You need to get on that, buddy.
Yeah, that's true. Sometime this week, we'll have to do that.
Deal. Let's see here. Something that happened when 4.1 launched is that mobs were moving strangely and behaving strangely, therefore. So Meloriac was interrupting his own casts of Arcane Storm by moving mid-cast, awesome. And Nefarian was stutter-stepping towards his main target. It's like they would never just, like, stand still. So those have been fixed, so that's good to hear.
Did you see any issues with that kind of stuff, or no?
I didn't notice.
Or a card, either one.
Personally, I never noticed the difference, but as long as I noticed seeing him clawing me in the face constantly, I assume everything's right.
Yes, that works.
No, I didn't notice it with Nefarian myself, but I know that Day and Takari were talking about Meloriac and his interrupts, and they were getting cranky, so I'm glad that's taken care of.
Sounds like a good thing.
One of the major fixes that they've done over the last few days is the reticule bug. They have fixed it.
Oh god, such a pain in the ass.
So, okay, being that you actually have spells with reticules, can you please expound on this for us?
So, the reticules are essentially when you're going to cast an AoE and you click on a spell or whatnot to that is a sort of a localized AoE, like Blizzard or Flamestrike in the case of me, or anything, I guess Death and Decay or anything like that. And placing that reticule has been a total crapshoot of whether or not it's actually going to work. Because sometimes it will remain its normal size, sometimes it gets bigger and then doesn't work, sometimes you, like, click on it to bring it out, and then it just doesn't work at all. There's been any number of like absolute problems, and I don't know if anyone talked about it specifically, but I remember having the issues, and then someone being like, oh yeah, I've had those issues also. I'm like, thank God, because this is absolutely freaking obnoxious. So there was some real AoE issues for the first couple of days that was happening.
Yeah, not only AoE issues, but like light well placements. Yeah, forget about that. That's totally unreliable, or it was. Even the fish feast, the seafood magnifique, there I am trying to set down a feast, and I drop a feast, and I see the feast, and I try to click on it, and it, like, nothing happens. And I'm like, what the F is this? There's a feast. Then I realize that I never got the emote that I've dropped a feast, and that my mod has not announced it to the raid. I'm like, what the? So I then drop another feast, and that one is clickable. That one is visible by everybody else. And, you know, I get the emote, I get the raid warning. And so, like, I don't know, that was definitely part of the reticule bug, because, you know, you have the reticules to place it. So they have fixed that, though. So everyone should rejoice. Yay!
Hooray. Fixed reticules. Which... Hooray, they Clank fixed something one that they broke.
Was a huge one for me, as well as, I'd say, partly with the entire guild, since Heroic Leap was a very used ability by all of our warriors, myself included. Which, at least for now, it works, until they break it again.
Yep, pretty much.
Fair point.
They fix one thing, you can be sure they'll probably break something else.
Yeah. Enemy AoE, I think you want to talk about?
Oh, yes. Just a quick mention, I forget if we mentioned it last week, which we probably did, just with regards to like the patch notes in general. But the enemy AoE thing is freaking awesome. It looks just so fantastic to be able to see your whether or not an AoE in the battlegrounds or whatnot is yours or not. They've done it really well, and it's really cool to see like a red consecration. I know you never PvP, but it would be worth it just to see that, because it looks totally badass.
Which, I'm kind of jealous of that, because I always want to be the enemy, just because the red one looks so much better.
Yeah, than just having whatever it normally looks like.
Yeah.
Well, you can rest well knowing that they're seeing your stuff as red, so there you go. Just, you can't
you
see
are
it.
The enemy.
Yep. Congratulations. Someone. You are the bad guy. No new news, I guess.
I was going to say, is this news to anybody?
Not even remotely.
For our dear listeners out there, Lude is well known for summoning us to strange places and trying to kill us all.
That's true.
And occasionally succeeding.
Guild mass summon.
I have yet to recall a widespread success.
I've seen widespread attempts.
Yes, attempts for sure. Yeah, he always tries. He doesn't always succeed, but he always tries.
Hey, in my defense, I didn't try last night.
That's true. You did summon us all to BWD without incident.
For now.
All right, so with that, let's talk a little bit about what we did over the last couple raid weeks. I think that the biggest news is that we killed Heroic Chimeron. I think that's actually pronounced Chimeron, right?
Whatever. It's pronounced however I want to have it pronounced.
It's pronounced Big Two-Headed Dragons.
Fair enough. Yeah. So we got him down on Heroic, and then we actually repeated that this week very easily. It was a one-shot, which was hilarious. Very good.
It was awesome.
Yeah, seriously. And doing it so cleanly gave us a lot of time to work on Heroic Meloriac, who we had looked at previously for probably about 2 full raid nights, I think, about three or so weeks ago. And like at that point, we were so pleased to get to like the second Dark Phase. Never mind that the green phase did not go so well. We got to the second Dark Phase, and by golly, that was a victory.
That's good enough.
But I think that preliminary work really did a lot of good for us for these attempts this week. We got him down to 9% as the best, and it was really the first couple phases, or like the first the first phase in general, with the dark and the green and the blue and the red, like all of that, both times went really swimmingly towards the end of our attempts in the week. And I don't know, we just picked it up really well. I think that the AoE damage buffs did
probably
quite a bit.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, not to discredit us at all, but that AoE buff in general was a huge help for the annoying sludge. Are they sludges or just what?
They're vile swills.
Okay, for the black things.
Yeah, those little nasty goos. So yeah, multi-shot was huge. Everything was fantastic. It was so good to see us get through those phases cleanly. Like, previously, if we had like a dark phase and then a red phase, we were screwed. But now it's pretty much they're dying right as we're entering red phase, which is fantastic.
Yeah, so you get your ranged on them, and it's probably they're gonna finish them off before they move over. So it was much better. I think the AoE was definitely a big help, and everyone was more on top, and they'd seen it before. So everything came together a little bit better.
I absolutely agree, and the only thing we need a bit of practice on is phase two movement, because the flame jets are kind of painful. And the frost orbs, holy crap, those things hurt. Jeez.
Yeah, they are pretty much insane, the frost orbs.
And having some form of nature protection is really good for that acid spray or whatever it is. But apart from that, just a little bit of practice, a little bit of cleanup, and I think that we'll be able to get Heroic Moriak down this coming week.
Yeah, definitely. There's no question that we'll be seeing him down this week. I would go so far as to say that.
So we're also going to try to do a repeat Alakir, so we'll see how much time we have left to progress. But yeah, so we had a good couple of raid weeks. Had a bit of a snafu last night though on Nefarian, which made me a sad panda.
A little bit of an upset panda from what I heard. A little more than sad.
Well, okay, when your interrupt abilities literally don't have any chance to miss. How is it that we missed 4 on the first attempt, 5 on the second attempt, and 3 on the third attempt? Like, I don't understand that. We should always be getting the Blast Novas. Like, we know the fight well enough to know interrupts are king, and we just got wrecked by Blast Nova stuff. And then we literally ran out of time, so we didn't kill Neff. And it'll happen, and that's okay. But, you know, it's certainly a little frustrating when you specifically don't do a couple pulls on Heroic Moriak and just clear them on normal, getting the achievement, by the way, just to like go and wipe to Nefarian 3 times. So
yeah, not a good thing.
Still, it was a productive couple raid weeks, and we got a brand new Rester Druid who has joined the crew. Jasila from cannotbetamed.com has joined our humble guild, so we'd like to welcome her aboard.
Welcome.
And that was basically it for our raid week. And with that, we'll move into our guild tab, which is where we like to talk to the guest of the week.
That's you, Lute. You're the guest.
Yep.
Wow, that's a surprise.
Exactly.
The people that are here every week, and me, and I'm the guest.
Boom.
All right. So, as I mentioned before, Lude is a prot warrior for us in Apotheosis, and Lude, we're going to talk to you a little bit about your tune and your WoW experience. So,
why don't you start it up with tell us a little bit about your tune?
Tune, Lude, or as it is seen in Gil, Monodius, because my warrior's original name was taken when I came to this server.
Oh well.
Yeah, I'm still cursing that moment, but luckily, as the guests can tell, the name Lude has stuck to me, which is a relief. But the character came about because at the time, which it was created around last February, it was the only character I had never leveled was a warrior. So it was, I got a bunch of warrior friends. Let's try this instead. I've played everything else, why not?
Nice. That's definitely the one class I have not leveled yet.
And for me, I enjoyed the class. I pretty much fell in love with the fact of, yes, at that time, February last year, warriors were the gods of WoW. They were horribly overpowered. I miss those days. But I enjoyed it and just stuck with it. Ended up getting into a serious raiding guild back on Windrunner after bouncing around for months. Wrath ended, that guild dissolved. Some of the members came to Apotheosis before myself, which is how I ended up finding out about y'all. Because of me, whenever I was looking for a raiding guild again, due to scheduling conflicts, I was like, hey, y'all look good. Then it was, here we are.
Well, and that brings us to today, I guess.
Yeah.
What would you consider your favorite memory in WoW?
Oh, Lord. My favorite memory would probably go back when I was in 10-man raiding off of my last account, because this is not even my first account on WoW. It's a long story behind that. But it was with me and my original guild. We were in our 10-man crew doing Old War at Yogg-Saron. The warlock that was with us, just doing Four Keeper, it was our first ever kill of him. The warlock disconnected as we pulled and get the guild first kill, 9-manning it.
Oh,
jeez.
Goodness. That's awesome.
And that's did not impressive. Realize it until he came back online dead in the middle of face of the last phase.
Sick.
That's really impressive.
That's ridiculous, considering, you know, 9 out of 10 is missing 10% of your raid. That's pretty insane.
Yeah, especially given
DPS.
Yeah, and he was, I still remember him, he was one of our strongest DPS then.
Oh, man.
I'm just boggled.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive, actually. Yeah, I guess my next question would be, why did you join Apotheosis?
I kind of implied to this before, but the reason I joined Apotheosis was throughout Cataclysm, I started to say Wrath out of habit, but I've had to bounce guilds around 5 times now.
Dude.
Just due to either personal conflicts with some members, which was one of the issues, two guilds that dissolved on me, one being Premonition back on the Windrunner server, another being Dirty Casuals on the same server. Both of those guilds just fell apart. Another, they decided to stay strict 10-man raiding with a 20-man core. I enjoy raiding too much to have to see it half the time. Or more than half the time.
Yeah, that's understandable.
So me and Serious Business were having a conversation through Real ID. I asked them, Serious, I'm tired of Windrunner. Is Apotheosis, since I had used Armory, bless you, Blizzard, for something you have useful. And, like, are y'all recruiting? He told me at the time he didn't know. He thought y'all were recruiting a tank, but wasn't sure. I applied as a Fury Warrior, as up until I joined Apotheosis, was my main spec. So, yes, y'all corrupted me. I blame you.
Yay.
The best.
I applied, had my Mumble interview with y'all a couple days later. You seemed like great people. So I left the server that I've known forever and came over.
Well, I think we're really glad that you did. As I recall, you jumped in there. you transferred earlier than we anticipated, and you were ready to raid, and Dayden was like, hey, you want a tank tonight? And you're like, sure, and we just threw you on in there.
Yeah, because I was originally expecting, I still remember that issue as well, that I was waiting on my tax money to come in from the government. It's like, okay, I'll be over this coming Friday after it comes in, which was when I was expecting it, or when I get paid, which would have been the following Monday. I decided to look after our interview, and it was already there.
Yeah, and so he late transfers right after the interview.
Yeah, within 2 hours.
Yeah,
ended up getting logged in and invited to the guild. I think I had already done raid invites that night whenever I appeared.
Yeah, I think we're just in the process of getting that underway, and so we're just like, hey, you want to join us? Sure, excellent.
Hey, new victim.
Yeah, bearing in mind that he'd done most of the content, but he had never tanked it. So yeah, we just threw him in the deep end, and he swam pretty damn well, gotta there say.
You go. In my past, I had been a tank before, just not on a warrior. Because, well, Wrath content doesn't really count except for very few fights. Because Wrath was kind of a joke.
Yeah, even I could tank through some of that stuff.
Oh, man. You know what that really means. It's less than... I don't even know. I don't even have something for that. That's how horrifying that is.
I'd say, if you're going to tank, be sure I'm not there. I feel safer that way.
As you would be. As you would be. No, Madrana tanking... not a good plan ever. I've done it a couple of times. I was an off tank in a TOC 10, and I did some TOC, no, not TOC, some Ulduar weeklies on my druid tanking. Definitely not a great tank.
So for weeklies, you tanked Flame Leviathan.
Sorry?
For the Ulduar weeklies, half of the time, you tanked Flame Leviathan.
No. No, no. I was going to tank Ignis, but then there was this idiot Prot Warrior who is, well, an idiot, and so I had to heal it when I didn't mean to heal it, because there's no way I could DPS on my bear, because I was and still am a failed druid. I also tanked an XT. I actually tanked a hard mode 10-man XT, thank you
very
much. Oh my
goodness.
Yeah, yeah, that was a good
time.
So
you sit there and held aggro.
No, I was the ad tank. It sucked. And I blame the people that you know from Windrunner, that I know from Bronzebeard. It's all their fault.
Chris
and Cal and Merc.
Calarian. Crew.
Yeah, those bastards. Anyway. Yeah, so our next question is, what do you like to do in-game aside from raid?
There's things other than raid?
Not often, but occasionally.
For the most part, I'm an autoholic. I've got more than I even want to count, considering I have alts on multiple servers now, because I haven't moved them over to this server because I'm cheap. And $25 per character, well, like I said, I'm cheap.
I hear ya.
For my main, though, I try to collect achievements, but I get really bored really easy when all of them that are not a nuisance and take weeks to get, I have. So it's mostly just back to being on alts.
Yeah, I'm a fan of the alts as well, but less so, I think, this expansion. I'm not really feeling the desire or urgent need to level, like, all six of my tunes that were 80 to 85.
Yeah, we know you're a fan of alts since you're trying to betray us for choicescale.com.
Not trying to betray you. I'm trying to supplement my reading with some other reading by helping out a great group of people. So if you want to, you know, make sure that I am not betraying my guild, as Lude would say, you should go join choiceguild.com as a holy folly.
choiceguild.com.
We really need like a bumper for the choiceguild.com.
Yep.
Oh boy. Okay. And our last question for you, Merc. Merc. Wow.
Dude. Whoa. Wow.
I'm tired. Oh boy. Our last question.
I don't even know what to say to that.
Now, you know what it was? It's because the word here is quirky. And so I was thinking. Anyway.
No, don't think about it too hard. It's okay. Continue.
So our quirky question is based on you, Lude. My main question for you is this. Have you gotten used to your new name yet, Monodius? Or are you still in danger of not moving when DBM yells at you, particularly on Archimedes?
Oh, I've seen that coming, sadly. I lived through Archimedes the last time I did it. That's all I can say.
But was that like a one-off thing, or is that going to be consistent?
Can I play the fifth?
You may. I will accept the fifth. I do appreciate that, though.
Lucky. Get away with that.
I'm getting used to it. Probably because I've tweaked my DBM a little bit more. To where it's like, oh, this is for me.
Nice. Alright, then with that, we'll move into general chat. Our topic this week is guild funds. And what the heck do you do with all of this cash that you now have?
Hypothetically speaking. Well, hypothetically, what you do have and what you can do to get more guild funds.
Yes, there's that as well. 4.1 brought with it guild challenges. So in a given week, if you kill one raid boss, if you do 3 raided battlegrounds and 7 guild dungeon groups, and you are capped out at level 25, you then get a monetary value for each of those. So the raid boss is worth 1,000 gold, the dungeons are worth 250 gold each, and the raid battlegrounds are worth 500 gold each, I think. Or no, 750 gold each.
Which actually, even if you're not level capped for those guilds that are not as fortunate yet, you still get gold, but it's half as much.
Oh, excellent. Good to know. Thank you very much. And you also get a hefty chunk of XP while you're still leveling your guild. The guild challenges are a great way to increase your income. It's just, like, I think it's $47.50 or $42.50 a week that you can do just by doing stuff that you would normally do with your guild. So, I mean, a raid battleground you may not necessarily want to do, but hey, you know, like, if there is interest. Yeah, I don't think do you even have to win the 3, or do you just have to do the 3?
You have to win.
You have to win.
Fair enough.
Every time you win 1, you get one of, like, you get the reward times 1, and then you can do that up to 3 times.
There you go. So, I mean, that's a little extra incentive to actually form that raided battlegrounds group, or to actually form that raid group to go kill Magma, or even, you know, Argaloth in Baradin Hold, or what have you. And you can do it on 10 or 25 for the raid.
Yeah. I mean, just to lay it out before we delve absolutely into the thick of it, is what your guild is probably spending money on, and then why you would need to fund that. I mean, most guilds, I would assume at this point, run out some sort of guild repair for their raids.
Yes.
At least.
Guild repair, this is actually one of the hot topics in Apotheosis right now, and I'm arguing with the officers currently. And Magic is quietly abstaining, it seems.
Listen, when my opinion is needed, it will be told.
Yeah, when I need your opinion, I'll give it to you.
Bam. Wait, no.
Yeah, so right now Apotheosis opens up raid repairs on raid nights only, and it's 100 gold, which isn't a whole lot, for raiders and officers, and for initiates it's 50 gold. So we want to bump that up because, you know, especially on progression nights, that's not fun. So we're all in favor of raising that limit to something, you know, a little more substantial. What I'm trying to argue is that it would be beneficial to have a lower overall limit, but have it open 24/7. And everyone else is like, no, that's a terrible idea. I'm like, what? No, how is that a bad idea? Like, almost all the guilds I've been in, you know, apart from my own, have done that. I don't think Choice does that, but my previous guild on Proudmoore did. And, you know, it was like an extra perk of being a raider. And, like, if you got to be a veteran, which, like, you only got after being there for, like, a year, so that's taking it to the extreme, like, you would get more in terms of raid repair money, which, or even just overall repair money, which is nice. So, to me, I think it's, like, a nice perk, but I'm being basically shot down, and, you know, we're having a healthy discussion about it, shall we say.
Yeah, so that's one thing that you're likely expending money on. Again, depending on the size of your raid group or what you're doing, it's fish for feasts and or for cauldrons, you could be spending money on.
Yeah, and again, like that's something where we're not spending money. We have a weekly EP drive where you get 200 EP, because we use the EPGP loot system. And we basically ask for various materials that we're running low on. Like, this last week, we needed fish. So we, you know, put in 40 fathom eels or 40 highland guppy or 20 lava scale catfish. And if you send in any denomination of those, you would get your 200 EP. And hey, we get free fish that we don't have to buy from, you know, the overpriced auction house. And the same thing with cauldrons. We require people to donate us 3 flasks in like certain proportions, and so we're able to drop 2 cauldrons every raid night to fully cover the raid. Those are things that we're not using guild funds for, but are entirely feasible, if not likely, that you guys are doing in your own raid groups.
Although, again, our you know, our model is one where you could be trying to save money if you're giving away such things such as you know, a standard or some sort of quantity of whatever points you use to distribute your loot, you know, something reasonable. But it'll help you save on money that you could be using for repairs, depending on I know loot here spends quite a bit in general on repairs every night. I know I'm usually under, actually, our 100 gold cap, but any plate wearers that are getting battle res are dying multitude of times and spending a lot of money.
Especially on Hero Caliphus, where we enjoyed killing lewd.
Bam! Take that.
Yeah. I actually got to live through Halphus this week.
That's true.
I did not.
Good. My living through it had nothing to do with me not being there, but...
Nice.
So, yeah, I mean, what you probably want to do is, if you are low on funds in general, is maybe work out a barter sort of system where you give out DKP or EP in exchange for the goods that you're looking for. I mean, it's what worked for us, because we started out with, like, nothing in the guild bank. Like, absolutely nothing. Like, I put in 5,000 of my own gold just to really start us off, but we had nothing in there. And now we've got almost 220,000. That's just in the last, 6 months or so.
Yeah. Another thing that we did to get a significant portion of that money is, selling BOEs.
Oh, God, yes.
They've probably gone down in price now just because of ZA and ZG have distributed a lot of loot over a wider variety of people. For example, the BOE wand from BWD, Teresa's Booklight, was previously selling for what could be equated to the most insane pricing I've ever seen on an item.
Like 40K?
Yeah, between 40 100K, and 60.
200K.
Yeah. So, let's say you were really strapped for cash, and I think some of those BOEs probably still sell pretty well. If you're strapped for cash, you can withhold that, you know, is a possibility, and then just sell it for guild bank repairs. So even though it may be one piece of loot for somebody, that piece of loot could provide repairs for a whole raid of 25 people for X number of raid nights. So it may be a trade-off that may be worth it.
Absolutely. And don't forget the other expense that you could have. The other major one is enchanting. In Apotheosis, we actually enchant your epic gear that you got, and like as long as you're a raider or higher, so raiders and officers. And I mean, like, I don't even always use that myself, but it's very helpful if you've got things like you know, Maelstrom
Crystals.
Your weapon
enchants.
Yeah, Maelstrom Crystals are huge. Like, I'm still using Heartsong on my Maldo Sword Cane, but I'm seriously considering getting Power Torrent, and I'm really glad that I'm not going to have to pay for that myself.
Yeah, between Power Torrent, Windwalk, and Landslide before Zip 4.1, you were looking, for an individual person, that's 10,000 gold and enchant.
Yeah, pretty
substantially less now, but
yeah. Well, a lot of things have changed with the patch, just because crystals are a little bit easier to get now that people are running ZAZG that are already geared past them. You're disenchanting a lot more gear. The same thing with our raids. The more farm bosses you do, the more crystals you get. It's less money you actually have to spend on enchanting materials. Well, I guess more you have to spend on regular enchanting materials and less on crystals.
Yeah, that's true.
I guess we also support. Actually, I have not used it. I've had to switch gems so often that we don't do gems right now, do we?
We do gems.
Oh, do we?
We do.
We do. We do gems, leg armors, metas. We basically anything that can be enchanted externally. So like we don't do the shoulder enchants, we don't do the helm enchants, but we'll provide leg enchants if you need them. Gems, yeah.
I honestly did not know that. The problem is, I find myself switching gems on such a random basis, or not random, but on such a quick basis that it would take a little bit to wait, but that'd be something else, you know. Almost all your guild costs can be offset by running drives with your, you know, your DKP or your EP or whatever it is. It's like one of the major ways that we save money and that you can save money in the long and short run.
Yeah, so, I mean, and of course we can't forget cash flow.
Yes,
at level
that's true.
5, is it? You get cash flow rank 1?
Yeah, and then level, like, 15 for the second rank.
Level 16, yeah, for rank 2. So, after level 16, every time anyone in your guild loots something, 10% of that is regenerated and deposited into the guild bank directly. And as of 4.1, you now have a cash flow gains this week section, which actually includes, I'm told, the guild challenge money.
Huh.
Yeah.
It does include that?
Yeah, I think it does. They changed the cash flow rank 1 tooltip to say, in addition, completing guild challenges will reward guild directly to your guild bank. So it's technically part of cash flow now.
Huh.
Which
I guess,
is kind of lame.
Well, the other thing about cash flow is, while it's helpful, unless you're, you know, running or in a raiding guild that also has a very substantial number of active people, you can't really fund much off of it. I think we found, right? I mean, how much did we get from cash flow from last week? I thought I saw something like 6,000 gold, maybe.
Yeah, total this week we had about 6,200 or 6,100. And then if you want to, like, subtract the 4,250, I guess it is, from the guild challenges, it's, you know, not a whole lot. But if you're not raiding all that much, and if you're in, you know, 333s and 346s, you're paying a lot less in repairs than you are in 359s and 372s.
True. So, I mean, cash flow becomes a lot better if you're in a much larger sort of not endgame raiding guild, because at ours, we're getting, what is it, 60, you said 60 to 62 a week, but we're spending at least 7,500 per person, you know, for an entire raid week at 100 gold per person per raid night. So it's, you know, we're going to outgrow that pretty quickly. But if
we're close to breaking even,
yeah, it is close. So if you have a lot more people, then you may be able to increase that cash flow up above 10. Then there's a possibility that you could balance it out. But it that kind of thing means that you need to maintain a high level of alt leveling and just people being interested in the game, which is not something you could count on. You could count on in the short run, but definitely not in the long run, because you never know what people are going
to
do.
Also to consider at this point, and I think this would fit for any guild, this is getting close to the end of a tier. At the beginning of tiers, more people are on. It's always been that way for as long as I can remember. And more than always will be.
That's very true. Although with 4.1's launch, I mean, we did get a lot of new content in terms of the new dungeons.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, with the new dungeons, there have been a mass of new people logging back in for the first time in a while. I actually have some friends that fit that role. And except, nothing against Blizzard. 4.1's a relatively minor filler patch. That's the way I see it. I mean, yes, we got two new heroics. How many times is everybody going to run those?
Apparently none if you're me and Magic.
My point exactly.
Yeah, I mean, if you're above that level of item, you know, already when it comes out, you're probably going to do like once or twice each. And then, you know, what's the point? Like crystals? All right, that's good. But past that, there's not a huge number of absolute necessity reasons to go there.
Yeah, other than just doing it for something to do.
Yeah, that's true. In 4.2, though, we're going to have a whole new quest hub similar to the Shattered Sun dailies
in
BC. And it'll be phased, but apparently you're not going to be phased from your friends. So even though you'll be interacting in different environments, you'll still be able to see each other and stuff.
Huh.
Yeah, which seems weird how they're going to make that work, but guess we'll see what happens in the day after patch day.
Yeah, the day after patch day, also known as every add-on I own is broken.
I figured day after patch day because we all know no one's going to be able to log in on patch day.
Yeah, that's going to be hilarious. We may have to postpone our regular Tuesday raid.
May have to.
Hey, we raided after 4.1 hit. I have high hopes.
I'm going off major patches involving raid content.
I have high hopes, damn it.
Well, I guess we'll see. It's I don't know. We'll have to see how the cash evens out with towards the end where people either start or stop playing. Again, that just comes back to not being able to count on certain people to play all the time.
Yeah, and it really does depend on, you know, when the con, like, it's like Lute says, you have like a peak and a valley, right? So, you know, people will peak at 4.2 and then they'll drop off and we'll be in a lull before 4.3 hits. And we'll experience this through the next, you know, couple years practically. So it's really something to bear in mind when you're trying to budget and organize things.
Yes, exactly.
Still, though, I think that it's really amazing how far we've come. If you remember back in the day, we didn't have guild banks. You generally had one poor schmuck of an officer who volunteered or was told that their job was to hold on to the guild stuff. And that meant that you would mail everything to their bank alt, and you know they would just put everything in their own bags on that tune. And yep. Poor Tia. Tia was the bank officer in Fated Heroes back in the day.
Oh, yeah. And
so you're announcing Tia's a schmuck?
Man, you have some sort of bounty on your head, don't you?
I did not even see that one coming.
Way to go.
I'm trying to give Tia props here, and Lee makes it sound like I am calling Tia a schmuck. Tia, you're not a schmuck. You know I love you dearly. And you know that I would never think ill of you for all the hard work you did with regards to the Fated Heroes Bank. There.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice try. We'll see if that sticks.
But still, I think it's fantastic what they've done. I mean, I don't even remember when we got guild banks. I guess that was Burning Crusade.
Middle of Wrath, I think, because I was actually looking through old patch notes not that long ago. And I think it was right around beginning of Old War,
Wow, really?
I don't remember it in DC.
You know what? You're right, because I remember Shadow Cry was broken and he couldn't repair.
Yep.
In Burning Crusade. Okay. Yeah, so I guess it's only been since Wrath. It's kind of nuts, though, how well they've integrated it, because so many people take this stuff, like, for granted. Well, not for granted, but, like, you know, just assume it's always going to be there, always going to be around, and it's really easy to forget how broken things were previously, where you didn't have a repair limit, you couldn't stash away 200,000 gold in a guild bank.
Yeah, and feel confident that, you know, it's somewhere where everybody can get at it, not just the one person. So you don't have to, I mean, you still are sort of putting most of your eggs in one basket, but at the same time, it's you're not really, because you can limit access to it or grant more access or anything like that.
Unless you're the guild master, in which case, you know, I could just server transfer and take my guild bank with me.
True, but for the most part, you know, it's easier to find someone a little more reliable or have some checks and balances with something like that.
Yeah, generally now your guild master is probably, hopefully, the most dedicated person to the guild, in the guild. Or at least one of the few who are really that dedicated and who you really have confidence in. I mean, everyone knows that I'm too much of a softie to screw anybody over. So, you know, all the stuff in the bank is, you know, for the guild, and I would never touch it, et cetera, et cetera. And I hope that your guild master is, you know, the same way and, you know, somewhat honest like myself.
And if you do have a dishonest guild master, that's the situation where if somebody did something like that, there are ways to find out where they transfer. They could easily be blacklisted.
That is true. One of my my former guildmates over on Proudmoore, he's a freaking ninja at finding people. Someone had ninja'd because, for whatever reason, my former guild, they didn't use Master Loot on loot. And so somebody needed every single thing that dropped off of Kale on their, like, fourth kill of Kale, and then server transferred. And that was back before you could trade it with anybody or whatever, so, like, that was, you know, significant loss of loot. And this mage, he just, like, tracked him down, found exactly where he transferred to, found the name, posted on the forums, and did that as he hopped to three other servers. He just followed him for, like, 6 months.
Wow.
Don't want to get on his bad side.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Sounds like your friend's a stalker, but...
Dude, he was just so pissed because I believe that Kale had dropped his chest. And so, I mean, like, he had his... He certainly had his personal motivations. But he, more than anything, really wanted to make sure that nobody screwed with him or his guild.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
There's easily sites Google can find you to look for a person's character history or guild history.
Yeah, it's true. Even with a name change, it's getting to the point where, you know, based on the loot that you have, based on the professions and everything, like, it's not that hard to find somebody. So, lesson learned to, or lesson, be, I can't speak. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say, watch out.
Say, don't screw with people?
There you go, don't screw with people.
Trying especially... to say, when dealing with money these days, you should make sure that you're putting the right people in charge of it and keeping sort of the necessary checks and balances to keep people from ninjaing as much as you can.
That is an excellent point, too. Something I did want to mention. We try to be as transparent as humanly possible in Apotheosis. Like, we have requests going on the forum so everybody can see those and that they're public, and we post when they've been filled. And with regards to money, I mean, it's all there in the money log, and if you have any questions, you can come to us. So I personally would recommend a similar policy for guild masters out there who are trying to figure out what to do with their newfound or soon-to-be newfound wealth. Just make sure that everybody knows what's going on with it to better engender a feeling of trust and safety.
You can probably find that trust and safety at choiceguild.com.
You can, actually. They are awesome. Man.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so choiceguild.com is awesome, and Apotheosis is awesome, and Loot is awesome for having been our guest today, because I think we're pretty much wrapping up here, yeah?
I would have to think so.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, then we will move into our shoutouts. This week, I have a bunch of shoutouts, and none of them for choiceguild.com.
Oh my goodness.
I know, right? So this is to PPA, Memnock, and Zappa Frank, who were some awesome low-level tanks that I had the pleasure of running with. Like, actually great tanks who would get aggro on the casters, who would pick up things that spawned on my face, who would, you know, generally ask if I was okay on mana or if they could pull big or whatever. I'm like, yes, by all means. Thank you so much for asking. People who shared quests with me, it was amazing. So wow. Thank you to P, Memnock, and Zappa Frank. And then I had a tank who was pretty good. Definitely did not live up to their name. Their name was Nubbadin. I have to say that that is the best paladin name I have ever come across. Nubbadin. Great Nubbadin. Name. So shoutouts to all of you, and not choiceguild.com.
I think we've hit our quota of choiceguild.com plugs this week. I think that's it.
Should there even be a quota on choiceguild.com mentions?
I think we need to put a cap on it, or else we risk, you know, I don't even know what we risk.
All right, last point of choiceguild.com mentions today. All right, Lude, how about you? Do you have any shoutouts?
Yeah, shoutouts to Starmex and Novocaine back on Windrunner. You boys know the reason. Shout out to choiceguild.com.
Damn it! How did I know that was coming?
Awesome.
It had to. We haven't had enough of them quite yet.
Also, not.
To anyone on Eldrathalos that hears this, if you can find a way to get magic killed and send me an entertaining screenshot, there's 200 gold in it for you.
Oh, good.
His tune's name is Magic Marine. Oh, Magikmarine. Magic Marine of Apotheosis.
I don't do many pugs on the mage, though. Does it count on any tune or only magic?
It will only count if you kill magic.
All right. Well, then there you go.
This Later. Applies to anyone in guild as well.
Excellent.
Wonderful.
Great awesome. Shout out.
Well... My shout out this week is to Sarah, who, after I brought my DK back over, I had no freaking idea what I was doing about rotation or, like, buttons in general to be smashing my face onto at this point. So, thanks to her enduring all my dumb questions and other such things. I guess most of the questions I have happen to be dumb. But
yes.
After you confirmed it was her.
Listen, don't worry about that. I figured I'd jump you guys on the dumb question one, so take that. Proactive. Yes.
Excellent. And we'll move into our tip of the week. Do the guild challenges for guild XP and extra guild cash, especially at level 25. That's a great source of income and guild XP, so do them. They're awesome.
Yeah, they are fantastic. There's no negatives to these things. Just, it's so easy. There's no reason not to.
We'd love to hear your tips of the week. If you have any you'd like to share or any feedback you might have, email us at podcast@blessingoffrost.com. Let us know what you thought. You can also follow Apotheosis and myself on Twitter. Follow at ApotheosisET and at Kernmoog. Leave comments and please do rate us up on iTunes. Lude, thanks very much for joining us today. Do you have anything you'd like to pimp out? A blog, Twitter, etc.?
Nah, I don't use any of those.
Gotcha, no worries.
Yes.
That brings Join us... the club. That brings us to the end of our 19th episode. I'm Kern.
And I'm Lloyd.
And I'm Magic.
Until next time, stay frosty.
Blessing of Frost is a not-for-profit World of Warcraft podcast by Kern and Magic, copyright 2011. Certain audio portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment, and no copyright infringement is intended. Thanks to our Gildy Numenal for the use of his voice in our intro, and thanks to you for listening.